Speaking to you this morning from John chapter 6, how little becomes much. This is a miracle, the only miracle that Jesus performed that's mentioned in all four of the Gospels. He performed a lot of miracles, but only this one, the feeding of the 5,000 miraculously by a little boy's lunch, a few little loaves of bread and a few fishes. And Jesus fed what some commentators said, it's 5,000 men, but some commentators say that it might as well have been, or it could have been, as many as 20,000 people that he fed with just these few items from this little boy's lunch. So let's talk a little bit about it. It's a great example of stewardship. It's a great example of God's plan of economy, how God's plan of economy works. 1 plus 1 in our economy equals 2. Now, the new math, I don't know, but with our old math, it always equaled 2. But with God, 1 plus 1 may equal 3 or 5 or 10,000. There is no limit to what God can do. So let's talk a little bit about this, and let me say some things I think God's led in my heart to have us see this from a little different perspective, perhaps. It starts with a problem. We see here in the passage in John that when Jesus looked up and saw a great multitude of people that were following him, thousands of people were here because they had heard of the miracles that he had performed, the things that he had done. So wherever Jesus went in Palestine during that time, he drew a crowd because he was always constantly healing somebody or doing something great, something that people had never seen. So we see here a miracle that's about to happen. We must understand about miracles that every miracle begins on the platform of a problem. If you don't have a problem, you don't need a miracle. Problems are those situations you and I define as those things that are engineered by God or orchestrated by God to bring us face to face with our deficiencies so that we might view his sufficiency as our only solution. You observe the problem. Thousands of people are out in the desert, and it's dinner time. It's a long way to the closest McDonald's, right? Nothing around, no place to eat, and so there's no food. We got a problem. There's a demand for which there is no apparent supply. You may have come up with situations like that in your own life. But so often we lose our composure when our supply of patience is exceeded by the circumstances which demand that patience. We become frustrated when our love supply is surpassed by the difficult circumstances and the people who both need and deserve our love. And we weaken when our schedules and our demands overwhelm our physical capacities. When the stress gets too great, when we can't handle anything else, we feel like sometimes folding up. But we must remember this morning, ladies and gentlemen, the economy that God operates in. Every problem you have, whether it's emotional, physical, spiritual, mental, whatever it is, every problem is an opportunity that we have to trust God, to step into our circumstances, and to reveal his glory. There's a need and a demand that you cannot meet. You cannot supply it in your own strength. It's greater than your resources. You've got a problem, and if you do, and I would say, if I asked for raising of hands, all of us have a problem, right? You have a problem, and this is good because it's a great place to start with a miracle. Now, as you look at this story, we go from the problem to the probe. Jesus begins to ask some questions. And we look at his approach. He didn't just go and say, hey, I got the answer to this. I've got the solution. He asked Philip about Philip's prognosis of the problem. And he said, Philip, where can we go to buy food for these people to eat? And Philip said, well, Lord, if we had 8 months' wages, it wouldn't be enough to feed the people even a bite. we're in a difficult situation. So the report wasn't encouraging, far beyond anybody's ability to supply. The demand outweighed the supply. It was an impossible situation. You may feel that way in your own life right now, maybe financially, maybe emotionally, maybe physically. Maybe there's sickness that's hit your home relationally. Maybe the problem is greater than you can find an answer for. But Jesus asked the question not because he wanted to know. He already knew. The scriptures tell us that he knew what he was going to do. He was testing Philip. He knew already what was in Philip. He knew already what he would do. But perhaps he wanted to demonstrate man's point of view versus God's point of view. So often, we just look horizontally. We look from a human perspective for the answers to our problems. God wants us to look up. God wants us to look vertically. He wanted Philip and all the others to realize you don't have it and you can't get it. And sometimes God brings you and I to that same situation. You don't have what you need and you can't get it from a human perspective. So he addresses the possibilities. The probe continued. I imagine the disciples went from one to one. They got out of the crowd. They began to try to decide, how could we get this answer? How could we solve this problem? I think all the disciples were out there looking for possibilities. And how much like us they were. We look for human possibilities to our situations. 8 months' wages, Lord, won't even be enough to give people just a bite of food. But Andrew, out there in the crowd, probably mystified, finally brings a little boy who might have been petrified. He says, Lord, I found a little boy out here. He's got a sack lunch of 5 little barley loaves, probably what we might call biscuits. 5 little biscuits and 2 little fishes. But what are they among so many? So here you have a solution, but it's not a solution. The problem still is way beyond what they could do. So let's look at their prospects. In verse 9, we see that he says, here's this boy. He's got these biscuits and these fishes, but they're not enough, Lord. You know, the prospects were slim. God always starts, ladies and gentlemen, with slim human material. He sows a little insignificant seed, but manifold are the results. In God's economy, the seed's always important. Our faith is the sowing of the seed to expect a miraculous harvest. In other words, it always starts with what we have. Are we going to keep it to ourselves or are we going to give it to God? That's what stewardship is. I'm either going to be selfish and self-centered, I'm going to hold on to it tightly, or I'm going to say, God, this belongs to you. You can have it. Now, that doesn't mean that God wants us to give it everything to him, but we need to recognize that it does belong to him. Now, you see the process as it was started here. It's this kind of faith that I'm talking about that brings a little boy to Jesus. And it's very fitting today that on this day that we dedicate a baby, that we have a boy, a little boy being the hero of the story. This little boy that God used to feed thousands. It's this kind of faith that brings a little boy to Jesus that begins the process which releases the limitless resources of God. Andrew, he had a hesitant, retreating faith, but it was a little faith, but it was enough to get the economy of God in motion. His faith was small, but it was well placed. So often we think, well, you know, I just don't have enough faith. You don't have to have a lot of faith. You don't have to have a lot. Just take what you have, give it to Jesus, and he can multiply it. Our problem so often, ladies and gentlemen, is that we hang on to everything we have so tightly. Jesus says, give it to me, and I'll show you what I can do with it. The exchange between this little boy and the Lord Jesus tapped the eternal resources of heaven and moved them into the bankrupt affairs of men and met the need. You and I today do not have what we need. We cannot meet our needs alone. We can't get it on our own. We need Jesus. So look at the proposition that was before them. Look at what Jesus did. He says, have the people sit down. They had all these thousands of people sit down. Plenty of grass in the place, the scripture said. There was 5,000 men. Take their wives, the children. Could be 20,000 people. But you look at this. Jesus was the object of the giving of the little boy. The little boy gave to Jesus. Now, the one, Jesus, who had been the object of giving, now would become the subject of giving. He now would give. He knew what he would do. He lived in the world of unseen, eternal reality. You and I live so much of our lives in the visible world. And Jesus wants to remind us that there is an invisible world. He saw enough bread and fishes. These five little biscuits and two fishes. He saw enough in that little lunch to feed the world. Because the power of God can do anything. So he gave thanks to the Father. He gave thanks for what both his physical and spiritual eyes saw. His physical eyes saw the mighty problem and the minimum supply. But his spiritual vision opened up the vastness of God's ability. So often you and I just see from the human perspective. God wants us to look beyond the human perspective and see the eternal perspective. What he can do if we just trust him, put our faith in him. You know, it's all about the adequacy of God. He tells us here, Jesus took these loaves, he gave thanks, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples then went and gave them to the people. See, the issue here was not really about food. The issue really was the complete adequacy of God. Is God big enough to solve your problems? How big is God today? That's really the issue. You see, Jesus' proposition is essentially the same with us today in the midst of our need. Faith doesn't focus on the amount of the need, but on God's ability to supply. When we talk about stewardship, we talk about money. It's really not about money, folks. God doesn't need our money. It's all about faith. It's all about God wanting to stretch our faith and to trust him, to believe in him. Giving, whether it's our, and it's not just money, but it's our time, it's our talents. It's all about stretching our faith, to trust God, to see what God wants to do. What does God want to do in your life this morning? What does God want to do in the life of this church? You see, it's all about his ability to supply. When Jesus gave thanks, there came the release of God's adequacy in the midst of man's inadequacy. This is the whole secret. What are you willing this morning to trust God for? What are you willing to put your faith in for God today? Well, we see God's program here. We see the thoroughness of the plans. The plan included this little boy and his lunch and the disciples and the crowd and ultimately the surplus. Jesus never missed a detail. And we see the investment of the disciples. Jesus took the loaves and the fishes, broke them up, gave them to the disciples, and the disciples went through that crowd and everyone got fed. They probably didn't know what they were doing. They probably didn't understand why. They probably didn't understand the end objective. But it involved faith to sow a seed. Here's a little boy. He's got some little biscuits. He's got some fishes. But Lord, what are they among so many? You may be sitting here and say, I don't have much. And that little boy didn't have much. But the little boy took what he had and he gave it to God. And God multiplied it. See, it involved faith to sow a seed. Jesus could have done it himself. He could do anything himself if he wants to, but that's not the way he does things. Our involvement is needed to fulfill God's intentions in his plan of economy. And so you see the multitude as they get involved too. He says, sit down. They all sat down. The crowd obeyed the instructions. The secret, the whole secret that made this miracle possible, folks, is giving. Jesus gave to the disciples. The disciples gave to the multitude. It was the giving of the little boy that continued with the giving of Jesus, which was passed on by the giving of the disciples. There was a contagion of giving. People gave and gave and gave. And the more that was given, the more there was to give. When giving took place, God moved within the affairs of men and released his resources. The little boy gave all that he had. He didn't hold anything back. He gave it all to Jesus. The point is this. What he did give, though it may not be much in our sight, what he did give was enough to move the mightiness of God into the scene and demonstrate how man's little becomes God's much. When we can duplicate those conditions, God can do the same thing for us today. As Marie read a little earlier, God's able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. What's the proof about all this? Well, you look at it as you read the last few verses. The people were filled. Started with a little lunch, 5 little biscuits, 2 little fishes. Thousands were fed. There was enough left over for ministry. When it was all said and done, they collected 12 baskets of food, which they could use to give to others. And then they looked at him and said, look at this. He must be the prophet, the Messiah, who is to come into the world. Man's idea of Jesus was elevated. They saw him perhaps a little bit more as who he really is. Now you look at a story like this, and it's repeated dozens and dozens of times in the Bible. As man met mammoth problems with his little to discover that all of God's much was available to him. How great this morning is our God. When you think about stewardship, when you think about giving, when you think about a church, you think about families, it's not really about you, what you have or what you have not. It's really about faith. That's what stewardship is about. It's about how much are you willing to trust God for? How much are you willing to give to God? How can you trust God? What does God want you to trust him for today? That's a challenge for us. As we as a church enter into stewardship, a new year, it's all about what God is saying to you, your time. And I know we're busy, but what does God want you to do with your time in the next year? Your talents. All of us have some giftedness and some ability that God wants to use for his glory. And then your treasures. God wants us to realize it all belongs to him. He owns it all. What does he want us, and how does he want us to respond today with our treasures to him? Let's bow our heads for a moment. I trust today that we'll all just respond to God in a way that he wants us to. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, maybe today is the day he first of all wants your life. He wants you to give your life to him, to trust him as your own personal Savior. Maybe that's the first condition that is before you this morning. Do you know that you know that you know him? Father, we thank you today. You are mighty God. You are great God. You are a wonderful God. We're stewards. Help us be good stewards of managing our resources in a way that bring glory to you. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'll touch hearts and lives. Bless these family members here today, little Axel today. Bless, Lord, entire family. Bless all of us here today that we might bring glory to you. Draw those who may not know you to you today. In Jesus' name, God, help us be good stewards. Amen.